You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 22, 2021, Merrick Garland, President Biden's nominee for Attorney General, is making something very clear. If you had any doubt this was coming, if you had any doubt this was going to happen, it's going to hit you full force. You're in the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing today. Utah GOP Senator Mike Lee asked Garland, do you support banning certain types of firearms? Merrick Garland's response, well, as I'm sure you know, yeah, we do, the president is a strong supporter of gun control and has been an advocate all his professional life on this question. The role of the Justice Department is to advance the policy program of the administration as long as it's consistent with the law. Where there is room under the law for the president's policies to be pursued, I think the president is entitled to pursue them. There you have it. You will have an attorney general who will work with Biden and the leftists to start tearing apart the Second Amendment. Now, I heard him say, room under the law, so forth and so on. He doesn't mean it. He does not mean it. He will be the Biden puppet, and actually he'll be the puppet of all of those on the gun control side, serving as an attorney general. Well, Senator Mitt Romney is finally trying to make some points. He's actually voicing opposition to Narina Tandon, Joe Biden's nominee to lead the Office of Management and Budget. She's getting a lot of pushback, even from some Democrats, particularly Republicans. He is the third moderate senator to oppose her, following Senators Joe Manchin and Collins. She has had a history on social media of making remarks about Republicans all the time. In fact, she even mocked Biden in 2015 as she was trying to get Hillary Clinton elected. And then when it became clear Biden was going to nominate her for this, you know what she did? She apparently wiped out thousands of tweets and remarks she had made previously on social media. And when asked, well, how do you expect to work with these people that you've called all these names? She said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. I shouldn't have. I got out of control. See, they would do that every time. When you hold them accountable and say, what do you have to say about this now? Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. But if you're on the other side and you do something like that, you will never be forgiven. Dominion Voting Systems, the election technology company focused of the theories about election fraud, and I would say some cases it might be real. We don't know. We never saw it. They are turning around and suing MyPillow and its CEO, Mike Lindell, wanting $1.3 billion in damages because Lindell made several public statements, along with Donald Trump, that Dominion rigged its machines in favor of Joe Biden. So they're going to go after him. $1.3 billion in damages. And the left is happy that the Supreme Court has said it will allow a subpoena of former President Donald Trump's tax returns to continue. That clears the way for prosecutors in New York to get 8 years of Donald Trump's tax returns and financial records. And the left is loving it. They're going to make that headline news all over. Scary incident yesterday on a United Airlines flight. I should say Saturday. A Boeing 777 flying from Denver to Honolulu. Right engine erupted in flames, dropping debris over northern Colorado. It was just barely out of Denver. So it went back to Denver, minor damage, all 229 passengers, 10 crew members unharmed, some of the pieces falling into neighborhoods and so forth, but no one reporting any injuries. But wait, some might come forward and say, the trauma of seeing things fall from the sky, I need money. We'll find out. Well, if it is a Monday, we need an update on what happened in Chicago, reference gun shootings, and Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Chicago. The latest numbers, 18 shot in Chicago, 2 fatally. Yeah, I know gun control laws are going to make a big difference in Chicago. And if you want a reason for the death sentence, pay attention to what happened just yesterday. And the 38-year-old attacked more than one, actually, ended up killing one of them. One of the corrections officers killed by this inmate. He's serving a 130-year sentence after pleading guilty to 3 murders. Here and still alive to kill a corrections officer. There's reason enough.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? You know, average cost to professionally treat a home? Less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices? Not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. Let me remind you, a fogging device, if Wellington sells them, $100. Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office, pay Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Steve Scalise made the same pilgrimage Kevin McCarthy did to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring, to once again pledge fealty to Donald Trump. They have tied their wagon to this.
That is, again, Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, House Intel Committee Chairman. And sorry it broke up at the end. We're having all kinds of problems with sound today. But what he was saying, they have tied their wagon, talking about all the Republicans, tied their wagon to Donald Trump. He says it's a terrible thing. Terrible thing for the Republican Party, but also a tragedy for the country, he said. And again, this is Adam Schiff talking. He said that we need 2 functional parties. Right now we have only 1 functional party, a cult of personality around Donald Trump. I don't consider I'm a cult member. I doubt you do either. Whether or not you like Trump, some, a little bit, maybe not as much as others, you're still being put in the same box. The leftists want to make sure that you are silenced and you hide. You don't want any attention. You want everybody to pass by. Don't see you. Do not label you as a Trump sympathizer, supporter at any point in your life. Because what they're doing now is moving to the next level. They're going to end up calling you terrorist, enemy combatant. I'll explain that in a moment. But again, when you listen to something like that from House Intel Committee Chairman Adam Schiff saying Steve Scalise, House Minority Whip, Republican of Louisiana, said that he made the same pilgrimage, as he says it, as Kevin McCarthy, congressman from California. He made the same pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring, to once again pledge to Donald Trump. Why is it that the left is so quick to talk about making Trump a king, and we never have. I've never looked at him like one. I don't think he ever looked at himself that way. But, of course, I can't get inside of his mind. Is it because that they are themselves moving and wanting a king, a dictator down the road? Now, I don't think that would really sit well with Adam Schiff and some of the existing Democrats, except for those on the far, far side, maybe even those beyond Bernie Sanders, such as AOC, Ilhan and Omar, and some of the others. But they will push it if they can. I mentioned that Republicans themselves, just being a GOP member, is going to make you a target. They want to basically make you fearful to stand for your rights and your beliefs. And yet they are the first ones to preach we have to be inclusive. We have to give everyone space. We have to make everything good. We will provide safe spaces and crayons and rooms where you can sit in color and kind of come to your grip with what you're dealing with. For those who are on the left who feel that they've been defiled, attacked, maligned, frightened by the mean old people on the right. There's an essay that appeared in the Root publication last week. I want to thank my boots on the ground correspondent, researcher in Chicago, Andrew, for bringing it to my attention because I had overlooked this one. It was a piece penned by the senior reporter. And it's titled, Democrats are stuck with a Republican Party rife with conspiracy theorists, anarchists, terrorist sympathizers. And it begins by asserting that the GOP is authoritarian and only cares for whites. Now, how do you think that plays for the members that are of another color, that are Trump supporters, strong, avid Trump supporters who voted for him? Candace Owens. Many others that come to mind. I guess they just assume that, well, they must be pretending they're white so we can put them all in the same box. So this senior reporter in his essay says, and I'm reading, we have an entire political party that has converted into an authoritarian, albeit Americanized version, style of politics that cares nothing about U.S. democracy or anyone who is not white. If I said that is hogwash, that would be the most polite thing I could say. But he goes on to refer to the GOP as a party of turncoats for basically sitting by saying nothing to counter the lies. They say that we're reinforced by the president's defense lawyers during the impeachment trial. And then he introduces the writer, several, quote, national security experts. He claims told him, quote, the Republican Party is functioning like a terrorist cell. Who is he quoting? Well, a U.S. Navy vet, Pam Keith, who ran as a Democrat nominee for the election to the U.S. House to represent Florida's 18th congressional district, is quoted as saying Democrats cannot work with Republicans. And here's how she said it. The only way a country like ours survives is through mutual agreement to set a standard. That's what the Constitution is. That's what the rule of law is. If you don't have that, there's no incentive to peacefully allow the other sides to exercise power. So, we have the Constitution. That is a rule of law. But don't count on the left protecting the rule of law. I've heard it said numerous times. The liberals will interpret the Constitution for you. Conservatives will quote the Constitution for you. There's a big difference. Earlier this same month, this writer for The Root had also compared Trump to Osama bin Laden. And she openly called for women to stop having sex with conservative men. Whether or not the women were conservative or liberal makes no difference. Just don't have sex with conservative men. And so you have this writer While you heard the U.S. Navy vet, Pam Keith, being quoted as saying, we need to survive through mutual agreement, he's saying the days of compromise are over. He said, we have this delusion of bipartisanship. There is no effing bipartisanship. Get off that ship. It does not work. It's sinking. It's done. It's at the bottom of the ocean. It's the effing Titanic. It's down in the water. Let it go. Then you get a former Marine Corps infantry officer. I was in the Marines. But I certainly don't abide by this thought, but I'm letting you know the source. A former Marine Corps infantry officer, Kyle Bibby, apparently the national campaign manager at Common Defense, said that if those who took part in the early January riot at Capitol Hill were in Afghanistan, they would have been hit. We would have hit them, either raid, drop a bomb on them, whatever it is. He said, ultimately, it is the Republican Party and conservative media that are responsible. I want to remind you of something. When you continue to hear the left cry out, this was an insurrection, an attempt to overthrow the government, not one member, and I'm not accepting what happened at the Capitol. I'm against it. It should not have happened. But not one of them arrested and being charged had a weapon as a gun. Now, did they have other things that were used to hit and attack police? Yes, they did. But you're not going to have a coup, an overthrow of the government by just running in with carrying the U.S. flag and using the stick it's on to beat somebody with. But that's what they wanted you to believe. That was happening. That was the intent. It was never the intent. Never intent to be an insurrection. Shouldn't have been anyway, because if it was, it's poorly planned. And again, these guys should not have been doing it at all. They should be criticized. They should be charged. They should be made and paid to be accountable. But it is far from a terrorist cell. But I told you when that happened, this is going to come back to haunt Republicans in general, and especially those who have been Trump supporters, going to come back to haunt them for many, many years to come. Anytime there's any advancement being made, something that might be good, they're going to rush forward and they're going to say, hey, remember how the members of the right were trying to overthrow our government, running into the Capitol to prevent them from certifying the election? They were trying to make their voice heard. They were not going to really stop it from being carried out. Maybe some thought they would, but it was not going to happen like that. But the bottom line is they're going to continue to use it, and they will make lie after lie about it, and you're just going to have to live with it. And those who put us in that box, I hope they do pay for it, because they have basically created that kind of storyline that will be used against us. And they will use it repeatedly. If they're going to now call you, and I'm going to read again a quote from the Terrell Germain Star, writing in The Root that Democrats are stuck with a Republican Party rife with conspiracy theorists, anarchists, terrorist sympathizers. I'm not any part of that, but you're not either, but you're going to be put in that same label under it. Goes on to say, Democrats have few options to get to the heart of white terrorism because their Republican colleagues in Congress benefit from it politically. We have to view the GOP as enemy combatants because for years they have proven that Democrats are theirs. Got a lot of responses on Twitter. One saying they, talking about the Democrats, actually want to kill Republicans. Wild, huh? And then you got conservative author, filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza, who said, this sounds like an incitement to civil war. What a way to talk about half the country. We have not seen this type of rhetoric in this country since 1860. Michael Moynihan writing, abandon bipartisanship and treat your political opponents as enemy combatants? That's insane. Dan McLaughlin, nothing dangerous about arguing for droning one of America's two major political parties. Another one said, imagine the reaction if someone in a right-wing outlet published an article which someone casually mentioned dropping a bomb on Democrats. That's correct. And then you got this one saying, this is your periodic reminder that they, the Democrats, hate you and they want you dead. Still another Twitter writer saying, this inflammatory rhetoric needs to stop. This is the type of stuff that gets people killed. But I don't see Twitter and the other social media shutting down that kind of talk. Well, let them feast on this. Donald Trump's daughter-in-law and former senior advisor, Laura Trump, indicates he is, quote, probably interested in running for office in 2024. Let them drink that for a while. And then, of course, the effort to get the Second Amendment, to take it apart, to come after your guns. And a St. Louis editorial pushing that same thought. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I was telling you earlier that Merrick Garland, President Biden's nominee for Attorney General, certainly did signal during his Senate Judiciary Committee hearing today that he's going to help Biden push forward on gun control. Now, Garland tries to couch it in terms that he would still make sure it's following the law and the Constitution. That's what's going to have you believe anyway. He said the role of the Justice Department is to advance the policy program of the administration as long as it's consistent with the law. That would be the Constitution, but that doesn't mean he will necessarily interpret it the way the Constitution is written. So the St. Louis Post-Dispatch had an editorial that came out 2 days ago suggesting Biden could make the left's gun control dreams come true. Here's how that opened. 3 years ago last Sunday, a gunman opened fire with a semi-automatic rifle at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, killing 17, the deadliest high school shooting in U.S. history, mobilized students and others to demand sane national gun policy, only to be thwarted by an obstinate Republican Party in the thrall of the National Rifle Association. If the Biden administration and the new Democrat-dominated Congress do nothing in the coming years, it's crucial they institute universal background checks and other rational reforms. Once again, they're throwing those terms out there, and most folks don't really know what they're even trying to say, but they just buy the storyline. Numerous shootings that we've had that should be condemned had nothing to do with universal background checks that would have prevented the Parkland shooting being one of them. Universal background checks would not have prevented the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting because, like it and many others, the shooters bought them via background checks. Either the laws were not followed correctly, or once they had it, they decided they wanted to go crazy. Does that mean I should not be allowed to have a pistol because a neighbor down the street decides to go crazy? You really want to go down that road, you on the left? Does that mean that if I want beef and you're vegan, that you have to eat beef because I do? You don't want that, and I don't either. I'm going to give credit to A.W.R. Hawkins, who's an award-winning Second Amendment columnist for Breitbart News. He did a summary of several cases of mass public attacks guys, shooters, who got their guns via background checks. The Virginia Beach attacker, 2019, May 31st. The synagogue attacker in April 27. Another Tree of Life synagogue attacker in October 27 of 18. The Texas church attacker in 2017. The Las Vegas attacker, remember that, 2017. The UCLA gunman. The Lafayette movie theater attacker in 2015. The Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal attacker, 2015. The Las Vegas cop killers, 2015. The Aurora movie theater attacker in 2012. Gabby Giffords attacker in 2011. Not one of those universal background checks would have stopped one of those attacks because they all got their guns at retail. But what the universal background check would do, make it a crime for you to sell a five-shot revolver to a lifelong neighbor, coworker, or a relative unless you carry out a background check submitted and conducted by the FBI. Background checks going to stop crimes? Of course they're not, because the criminals don't care how they get their guns. They're going to get them anyway. I mean, if they're really worried about laws, I think it's still a law. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's against the law to shoot someone and kill them just because you want what they have or you're angry with them. And yet, what did we have again in Chicago? Staunch gun control laws in Chicago, and this last weekend, 18 more shot, two fatally, just over the weekend. 335 now shot from January 21, 2021 through the 16th of this month. 335. So much for your gun control. Coming up, you want to hear Justice Thomas on these Pennsylvania election laws. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The energy capital of North America cannot provide the energy needed to warm and power people's homes in this great state. We are nearing a failed state in Texas, and it has nothing to do with God or natural disasters. It has everything to do with the leadership and those in positions of public trust who have failed us.
That is Beto O'Rourke in Texas, talking about the cold, freezing temperatures in Texas. And yes, it's been deadly. And 4 million plus were without power. And by that, we mean 4 million meters were shut down and not operating. So we don't know how many were actually exposed to during that time that live at a house serviced by that meter or an apartment, whatever it would be. But here's Beto O'Rourke once again saying, see, it had nothing to do with God. Well, wait. If you're going to say it had nothing to do with God, then does that mean global warming and climate change had nothing to do with God? Is it all man? I'm just asking. But what he's trying to do is point out that we need more green energy in Texas. If we had more, then they would not have had that problem. We've had numerous Texans come forward and say, we have told this state you got to do a better job of winterizing these wind turbines just in case we get hit with some of the weather they see up in Minnesota and other places. But the money got spent on more green stuff and not taking care of what we had. And the same thing of making sure the plants are not properly protected, the gas plants and so forth. We have, in Texas, of course, a vast amount of fossil fuels. They don't have to rely on any of the wind or solar. Now, they want to make a combination of it, but they got too dependent. And then when that happened, well, we see what came about. So Beto's want to say it's all political leadership. Well, if they'd had their way, there still would be nothing for them to resort to until the windmills thaw out. I mentioned going in the break, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. Today, the court announced it will not take up lawsuits challenging a Pennsylvania state court decision that relaxed ballot integrity measures. Remember, they agreed to extend the ballot receipt deadline during the November election by 3 days because of the virus, the Chinese Communist Party virus. And, of course, President Trump and the Pennsylvania GOP said you can't be changing the rules of the goalposts in the middle of the election like that. And it's got to be done by your legislature. Your state court cannot make such a ruling. So they wanted it to be taken up by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. They ended up making a ruling. So then it went on to the U.S. Supreme Court. So today the U.S. Supreme Court decided not to take up the case. But still, Justice Thomas felt a need to write some added remarks. He said, this is not a prescription for confidence. Changing the rules in the middle of the game is bad enough. Now, again, Thomas considered to be the most conservative justice, and he thinks the court should have at least given it a review. But he does add this. He said, the decision to rewrite the rules seems to have affected too few ballots to change the outcome of any federal election. But that may not be the case in the future. These cases provide us with an ideal opportunity to address just what authority non-legislative officials have to set election rules and to do so well before the next election. Refusal to do so is inexplicable. Other than Thomas, you had Justices Alito and Gorsuch also dissenting. So he just said, you need to keep this in mind. Maybe it did not change this election, but if you're going to allow your state Supreme Court on any whim it decides we're going to rewrite the election rules while we're in the middle of the election, not going to be good. And Democrats know this. It could have been written against them. They know that. You know, last week, there was a case that came out of Oakland, California, involving a gathering of the school board. And because of what happened, the entire school board in Oakland, California, has resigned because they were on a live stream mocking, shaming parents. Because the parents want to have school. They want to get the kids back into school. They've been out of school 11 months. And they wanted their kids back in school. Enough of the COVID story. We want our school kids back in to be taught. So you had this entire school board and a live video stream of them talking to each other, not thinking that maybe someone else could be listening. And they start mocking the parents. They want their babysitters back. Another one saying, B.I., if you're going to call me out, I'm going to F you up. One member said his brother delivers for a medical marijuana service and that when you got your kids at home, no more smoking out. In other words, the parents just want the kids at school so they can sit around and smoke marijuana. That got a big laugh until they realized it was being broadcast live. Erica Sanzi is a writer with the Thomas Fordham Institute, spent a decade as a teacher and a school dean before becoming a full-time education advocate. And she decided to write a piece based on this. And she said, parent shaming is nothing new. In fact, here's her opening. Parent shaming by school officials is nothing new, but the pandemic has brought it into public view more than ever before. I have a unique lens on this because I worked in schools for a decade, served a term on an elected school board, currently the parent of 3 school-aged children. In my education advocacy, I regularly talk to lots of parents from all different places with a range of experiences. My own record on the parent shaming front is hardly spotless, of that I'm sure. I don't have any memories of anything egregious, but common sense tells me that in a moment of frustration, after a terrible meeting or a phone call with a student's parents, I probably made an overly broad and unfair comment. You got to give her credit, acknowledging, yeah, I'm probably guilty of some of this in the past, parent shaming, because they didn't like how the parent responded to their meeting with the parent over how Joey is doing in school or not doing. But she says, parents, if you think it only happened in Oakley, California, it happens in a lot of school districts across the nation. And sometimes with not just acceptance, but encouragement by leadership of the school. In fact, she also pointed out in Alexandria, Virginia, a school board member was on a virtual school board meeting. She knew she was being live streamed. And she said parents who were, quote, reading research that says schools are not transmitting agencies of COVID are definitely in another frame of mind. And ask those parents, do you want your child to be alive or educated? And Erica Sanzi, the writer, said, it seems to me the right answer is both, please. Can we do that? And then she said, you start looking at what's happening in Chicago with the teacher's contribution to the parent-shaming frenzy. He said, you got an educator who wrote about disdain for white parents who think schools should be open. Listen to this statement. As a teacher, I fear for my own life and lives of my students and their families. I can't teach from the grave, nor can kids learn from there. If we do not speak up, nice white parents will get us killed. That was written by a Chicago school board, I should say a Chicago school teacher, back in January, this last month, after more than half the schools of the nation were already offering in-person learning. And then to throw in that white parents' inflammatory, racially charged remark. Erica Sanzi, in her piece about shaming parents, says, look at Providence, Rhode Island. 70% of the parents chose for in-person learning this fall. Providence, Rhode Island, 70%. The city is only 9% white. Detroit, a city 82% black, between 40 and 50% of parents want to send their kids back to school. And some of them are afraid to speak out because then they might be accused of being, well, you're exercising white privilege or you're trying to kill granny. Yep, that's one of them. One of them is already saying, if you send kids to school, they're going to go home and kill granny. One parent who supports reopening said, I still get called a granny killer. If we say anything about wanting our kids to return to school, we're painted as Trumpers. Parents care for their kids, and they want them to get their education. They want them safe. But the CDC has said repeatedly, you don't have to worry about it in the schools. That's not the issue. And slowly, we're opening schools. Biden proposing K through 8 for a period of time. Who knows when we're going to get them all done. But the other problem is you have a lot of teachers' unions that are trying to keep the schools closed until they get something else. You know what one of the things they want with the teachers' union in Chicago before they go back to school? You know one of the things they want has nothing to do with protecting the kids or the teachers. They want rent subsidies. What does that have to do? Not a thing. But we are way past that. They are now using this COVID as they have been, and we know they will continue on the federal level with the billions being provided by the federal government, if possible, to use it as an excuse to rewrite and redraw America. I, for one, am not going to stand by and let it happen. Coming up, the national anthem back in play. Do we thank President Joe Biden? Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the U.S. women's national team had basically pushed for their governing body, the U.S. Soccer Federation, to overturn a ban on protesting the anthem. Here's what they did Sunday in Orlando. They took the field wearing Black Lives Matter jackets, as they have for some time. But then when the national anthem was played, they all stood. No kneeling. They all stood for the playing of the anthem on Sunday. Now, one of those speaking out said, it's not that we're done fighting for racial justice, but instead we're moving that effort off the field. And we're not going to do that on the field anymore. Even though it means, she added, even though we are choosing to stand, it does not mean the conversations go away or they stop. It's all to say that we are now, I think, ready to move past the protesting phase and actually move into putting all of the talk into actual work. Well, I'll give them credit for that. They had their protests, they made their statements made, and they, as a collective decision, said we will stand for the national anthem. Two things. One, and players. We'll see that and agree. I've made our point. Let's quit doing that. Or do they want to simply bail out and say, let's just don't have the national anthem at the games anymore? Or the teams not be on the field? Or two, in this case, if now they are standing for the national anthem, does it mean they do recognize it's due that kind of honor and respect? To me, it suggests they do, that they recognize that. They may still have differences with things in the country. We all do. We all do. Some maybe more than others. Maybe some as a class. Maybe some as a gender. Maybe some as a religion. But apparently they are now saying we are past the protesting phase. Well, I'd say good. We'll see how it plays out with the rest of sports and players, either at the pro level and or at the amateur level. I need to let you know this because it may be appearing on a channel near you, Disney Channel. Maybe if your kids are going to sit down and watch The Muppet Show, you need to know that they're going to be, while they're watching Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, Fozzie Bear, and so forth, you're going to see a disclaimer warning of offensive content in The Muppet Show. The disclaimer will appear before each episode, warning viewers that the show features stereotypes and mistreatment of people or cultures. Maybe I never saw enough of The Muppets. I never saw any of that happen, but maybe they did. I don't know. But they're saying it includes depictions and or mistreatment of people or cultures. Stereotypes are wrong then, they are wrong now, so says the disclaimer. I don't know that too many kids are going to read it and pay attention to it, but Disney's going to put it up there because it's the thing to do right now. Adding, we're committed to creating stories with inspirational and aspirational themes, reflecting rich diversity of the human experience around the globe. And then, by the way, in season 5, they're going to have Johnny Cash performing in front of a Confederate flag. Because it's already been done. He's dead. He can't redo it. I guess they could remaster it and remove the flag, but they're not going to. But they're going to put up another warning for that. Oh, be ready also for warnings about the Aristocrats, Peter Pan, Swiss Family Robinson, Dumbo, all of them offensive. Just in case you didn't know it. Oh, and here's something else offensive. I mean, since we're looking for anything we can. Since the Washington Redskins decided to drop the Redskins name, and the pressure's on for Atlanta to drop the Tomahawk and the name of the Braves, Jeep is under fire. Jeep is under fire because the principal chief of the Cherokee Nation says it's time for Jeep to retire the name Grand Cherokee SUV. The chief said, I'm sure this comes from a place that is well-intended, but it does not honor us by having our name plastered on the side of a car. I don't follow that. I really don't. But he goes on to say, the best way to honor us is to learn about our sovereign government, our role in this country, our history, culture, language, meaningful dialogue. Da, da, da. No one thinks that the Cherokee Indian Nation built the Jeep Cherokee or had anything to do with automaking. But they think it also doesn't honor them by putting their name on it. I'm thinking of names like Ford. I wonder how that honored Ford with cash, Larry. Oh, thank you. I'm suggesting Jeep, for a small fee, can now name it the Jeep Grand Larry Connors USA SUV. I'll be glad to have them use my name. Jeep Grand Larry Connors USA SUV. A small fee. Not much. And you'll make the Cherokee Nation happy. I'm all for it. Hey, I appreciate you joining us as always. Spread the word. You're really helping this program explode, and I appreciate it. Also, remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.